Shall we pray? Father in heaven, we come to you now, seeking a blessing from your word, from on high. May this humble instrument be your voice, and may the Spirit be our teacher. In Yahshua's name we pray. Amen. Today the message is entitled, As a Good Soldier. As a Good Soldier. And our first scripture will be 2 Timothy 2, 3 and 4. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Yahshua the Messiah. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Endure hardness as a good soldier. I'm reminded of boot camp and basic training. Some of us in this room, some of us viewing this video, will know exactly what I'm talking about. Most of us have not been to boot camp or basic training, and you would not have the first inclination to know unless you've watched on the news or some other way. But until you've been in boot camp, until you've been in basic training, you cannot know what it's all about. It's defined as a period following a person's induction into the armed forces, devoted to training in basic military conduct, duties, and skills. Dearly beloved, we have been allotted a time of basic training. It's called human probation. And we are now in the last part of boot camp. We're in the antitypical Day of Atonement. It is that period of investigative judgment that must happen just before the graduates from boot camp. You see, those who go to boot camp must be proven. Those who go through basic training, some will wash out. They call it washing out. They don't make it to graduation. But we are in that period now when we are being proven for graduation. And some are washing out. Many, I must say most, are washing out. But we are in the very last moments of boot camp. We are in those final seconds, as I could see it, of our basic training. Human probation is that basic training during which converts are devoted to training in Christian conduct, Christian duties, and Christian skills. 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but are mighty through Yahweh to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of Yahweh, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Dearly beloved, we're not called to war in the flesh. We war in the Spirit. 2 Timothy 3:10 through 13. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, my manner of life, my purpose, my faith, my long-suffering, my charity, my patience, my persecutions, my afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Yahshua shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. We have a promise of persecution. Paul says that the Lord always delivered him. He also further says that these things will get worse and worse. And we see it all around us today. Yahshua and his followers were frequently in trouble, both with the law and with the people trying to attack or kill them. Yahshua himself was threatened by religious and political leaders on many occasions. Let's just review some of those occasions. Matthew 2:16. And then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth, and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and in all the coast thereof, from 2 years and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. This was when Christ was a baby. From the very time he was a baby, the devil was out to kill him. The next verse we have is Matthew 12:14. Then the Pharisees went out and held a council against him, how they might destroy him. This was just after he had healed on the Sabbath day. Our next scripture is Mark 11:18. And the scribes and chief priests heard it and sought how they might destroy him, for they feared him, because all the people was astonished at his doctrine. You know, people are astonished at the doctrine that the creation Seventh-day Adventist Church teaches. And dearly beloved, they fear that teaching. And therefore they hate us, because our message is a reproof to them. It is like an arrow from the Lord's quiver that pierces the heart of the transgressor. And just as Yahshua was sought out to be killed, we will in like manner be sought out to be killed. Our next scripture is Luke 13:31. The same day there came certain of the Pharisees, saying unto him, Get thee out, and depart hence, for Herod will kill thee. John 5:16. And therefore did the Jews persecute Yahshua, and sought to slay him, because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. Let's read a little further here. But Yahshua answered them, My Father worketh hitherto, and I work. Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that Yahweh was his Father, making himself equal with Yahweh. In some of the places I've been, people have accused me of claiming to be God. In my answer to WIPO, the World Intellectual Property Organization, I said unequivocally that Yahweh told me to use the name Creation Seventh-day Adventist Church to describe and designate Yahweh's earthly spiritual kingdom. This angered the panelists. Anytime we claim authority of Yahweh, it angers men. I remember one time I was in Clearwater, Florida, and we had come under persecution for handing out literature at the Seventh-day Adventist Church there. And as we were going out after the sermon, the pastor there asked me on what authority I had come there. And I told him. I told him that I had come by the authority of God to give the message of truth to God's people. And the demons that ruled that man manifested themselves immediately. The man broke line and began storming around the sanctuary, uttering all sorts of nonsense. He was beside himself. He was totally insane. You see, human beings cannot tolerate the authority of Yahweh. When it's spoken by another apparently human being, they come unglued, as it were. John 7, verse 1. After these things, Yahshua walked in Galilee, for he would not walk in Jewry, because the Jews sought to kill him. Let's go on down to verse 19. John 7, 19. Did not Moses give you the law, and yet none of you keepeth the law? Why go ye about to kill me? The people answered and said, Thou hast the devil. Who goeth about to kill thee? Yahshua answered and said unto them, I have done one work, and ye all marvel. Moses therefore gave unto you circumcision, not because it is of Moses, but of the fathers, and ye on the Sabbath day circumcise a man. If a man on the Sabbath day receives circumcision, that the law of Moses should not be broken, are ye angry at me because I have made a man every whit whole on the Sabbath day? Judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment. Then said some of them of Jerusalem, Is not this he whom they seek to kill? Let's go to John 8:37. I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my father, and ye do that which ye have seen with your father. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Yahshua saith unto them, If ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. But now ye seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of Yahweh. This did not Abraham. Ye do the deeds of your father. It is true that those who seek to kill us do the deeds of their father. And they will claim to be children of the Most High. They will claim to be children of Abraham. They will have an exalted profession. We have been told that our greatest enemies will be our former brethren. John 11:53. Then from that day forth they took counsel together for to put him to death. Joshua therefore walked no more openly among the Jews, but went thence into a country near to the wilderness, into a city called Ephraim, and there continued with his disciples. And then John 12, 9 through 11. Much people of the Jews therefore knew that he was there. And they came not for Yahshua's sake only, but they might see Lazarus also, whom he had raised from the dead. But the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death, because that by reason of him many of the Jews went away and believed on Yahshua. We have not yet raised Lazarus from the dead. But there's a day coming, dearly beloved, when we shall raise Lazarus from the dead. And when that happens, the Jews will have total unity in requesting our death. This is yet future, but it is soon to come. We have another example that stands out, John the Baptist. You remember what happened to him. We review in Matthew 14, 6 through 12. But when Herod's birthday was kept, the daughter of Herodias danced before them and pleased Herod. Whereupon he promised with an oath to give her whatsoever she would ask. And she, being before instructed of her mother, said, "Give me here John Baptist's head in a charger." And the king was sorry, nevertheless, for the oath's sake, and them which sat with him at meat, he commanded it to be given to her. And he sent and beheaded John in the prison. And his head was brought in a charger and given to the damsel, and she brought it to her mother. Our brethren have gone through much suffering. Our brethren have experienced great persecution. And Christ gave us some prophecy about this. Matthew 10, 17 through 26. "But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the councils, and they will scourge you in their synagogues. Ye shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what ye shall speak, for it shall be given you in that same hour what ye shall speak. For it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. And the brother shall deliver up the brother to death, and the father the child. And the children shall rise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But he that endureth to the end shall be saved. But when they persecute you in this city or country, flee ye into another. For verily I say unto you, ye shall not have gone over the cities or countries, cities of Israel or countries of the world, till the Son of Man be come. The disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. It is enough for the disciple that he be as his master, and the servant as his Lord. if they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more shall they call them of his household? I'm taken back to June 8th of 2006, when I had just arrived in Ontario, Canada. And I was notified that as of that date, I had 20 days to answer the WIPO complaint against the name Creation Seventh-day Adventist. I had been offered free service by an attorney in Ontario. But I remembered that scripture that said, "Think not what you will say in that day. For it is not you, but my spirit that will speak through you." And so I sat down to my computer. I sat down to do the very thing I could not do. And within 8 or 10 days, the Spirit of Yahweh had given me an answer. An answer that would be a testimony before the world. And as my brother David read the response, he said, "We must publish this. We must post this on the internet, because this is a testimony to the world." And I knew right then that we, whether we win or whether we lose, we win. Because now the testimony is there for all to see. And now, with the decision having been rendered against us, we see Christ's prophecy literally fulfilled. "You will be hated by the whole world for my name's sake." And Matthew 24:9, "Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake." Yes, dearly beloved, the beginning of sorrows is all that we've seen. It's just an invitation. To become a good soldier. The real test is before us. It was fulfilled in part in the early church. And let's go to the book of Acts and see some of what they endured. Acts 5:33. "When they heard that, they were cut to the heart and took counsel to slay them." This was the when the disciples were given testimony. Peter was preaching there, and those that heard were pricked in their hearts, and many of them desired to slay the disciples. And then Acts 7:59-60. "And they stoned Stephen, calling upon Yahweh and saying, 'Lord Yahshua, receive my spirit.' And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, 'Master, lay not this sin to their charge.' And when he had said this, he fell asleep." We must remember the spirit of our brother Stephen when they raised the stones against us. Acts 8:1-3. "And Saul was consenting unto his death. And at that time there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hailing men and women, committed them to prison. Now this is describing Saul, who became the Apostle Paul. You see, there was great persecution against the early church because of Saul. This will be Acts 17:5-9. But the Jews which believed not, moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, and gathered a company, and set all the city on an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people. And when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, "These that have turned the world upside down are come hither also, whom Jason hath received, and these all do contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying that there is another king, one Yahshua." And they troubled the people and the rulers of the city when they heard these things. And when they had taken security of Jason and of the other, they let them go. There is such a thing as mob mentality. Mob mentality. I faced this one time in Ohio. I was at a place called Liberty Center. Quite a name. It was misnamed. It was a misnomer. And I had gone there to rescue a fellow, Johnny Miller. He was a minister there who was used up. They had basically used his vehicles till they were broken down. He received no compensation for working there. And he had nothing left but an old pop-up camper kind of trailer, I believe it was. And I went there with a little blessing for him, and he asked me, "Pastor, can you release me from Liberty Center? Can you give me a way out of this place?" I said, "What do you need, Johnny?" He said, "Well, I have my eye on a van. I'd love to have that van, and I could just hook my trailer to it, and I could just, with a little gas money, I could just drive out of here and be a free man." I said, "Johnny, your prayers are answered. I have the money to buy that van." We went, we bought it, we brought it back to Liberty Center, and we began to pack his personal items. But then it was that mob mentality took over. Because those who were in power at Liberty Center did not want to see their captive freed. And so they came as a mob. And they said, "Who has done this evil? Who has given Johnny Miller a way out of here?" And of course, it was me. And they came to me and they called me to my face the devil. And as the mob was ready to hang me, literally, they were going to take me to the hanging tree and string me up. Now, this was only a few years ago in the United States of America. But let me tell you, mob mentality doesn't care what generation it is. and by God's grace, someone had called the sheriff because of the disturbance, all the noise. And the sheriff came to arrest the troublemaker. Of course, the mob pointed to me. And that's the way Yahweh saved my life, by sending the sheriff. He arrested me, put me in his car, and said, "Now, tell me your story." And it was quite a wonderful time of fellowship I had with that Assembly of God sheriff. He said, "I see that I've arrested the wrong man." But he said, "I'm going to take you off the property and let you out to safety." I said, "Thank you, God. Thank you." You see, our Father delivers us from the evil. Just when it appears we're going to be strung up. Let's just look now at a few of examples of what Paul went through, who was Saul. One of the strongest perpetrators of the persecution against the church. And now, Paul is an apostle, and look what he has to go through. Acts 9:22. "But Saul increased the more in strength and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is very Christ. And after that many days were fulfilled, the Jews took counsel to kill him. But their laying await was known of Saul, and they watched the gates day and night to kill him. Then the disciples took him by the night and let him down by the wall in a basket. And when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed to join himself to the disciples, but they were all afraid of him, and believed not that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles, and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way, and that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Yahshua. And he was with them coming in and going out at Jerusalem. And he spake boldly in the name of Yahshua, and disputed against the Grecians, but they went about to slay him." Dearly beloved, all who will live godly in Christ Yahshua shall suffer persecution. Acts 16:16. "And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us, and cried, saying, These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. And this did she many days, but Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Yahshua the Messiah to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. And when her masters saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace unto the rulers, and brought them to the magistrate, saying, These men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city, and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks." Another example in Acts 20:23 and 24. save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Yahshua to testify the gospel of the grace of Yahweh. Paul is saying, I don't count my life worth saving. This is not a matter of trying to save our lives or gain any great earthly kingdom or earthly goods or anything. It's to minister and testify the gospel of the grace of Yahweh. Acts 21:11. And when he was come unto us, he took Paul's girdle and bound his own hands and feet and said, Thus saith the Holy Ghost, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man that owneth this girdle, and shall deliver him unto the hands of the Gentiles. And all the city was moved, and the people ran together, and they took Paul and drew him out of the temple, and forthwith the doors were shut. And as they went about to kill him, tidings came unto the chief captain of the band that all Jerusalem was in an uproar, who immediately took soldiers and centurions and ran down unto them. And when they saw the chief captain and the soldiers, they left beating off Paul. In other words, they quit beating him. Acts 23:12-13. And when it was day, certain of the Jews banded together and bound themselves under a curse, saying that they would neither eat nor drink till they had killed Paul. And they were more than 40 which had made this conspiracy. Now that's determined. When you say, when you make a vow, you're not going to eat or drink anything until you kill somebody. That's pretty strong, isn't it? And then Acts 27:42, and the soldiers' counsel was to kill the prisoners, lest any of them should swim out and escape. This was after shipwreck. We'll read on down. But the centurion, willing to save Paul, kept them from their purpose and commanded that they which would swim should cast themselves first into the sea and get to land. Yahweh made a way for escape for Paul, for the church. There was all kinds of conspiracy to kill. They were beaten. They were imprisoned. They suffered persecution. But Yahweh did not allow them to die until it was their time. Now the 144,000 of which we are striving to become, of which we are called to be, have no need to die because there is no more harvest that these seeds are going to bring forth. We will be delivered, but it will appear that we will not be delivered. Our very senses will tell us there's no deliverance for us. But the promise of Yahweh is deliverance. And that is what we must believe, the word of Yahweh. But don't pride yourself into thinking you're going to avoid persecution. Don't pride yourself that you're going to avoid hunger and privation. Humiliation. Much humiliation. Don't be surprised to have your very blood family members facing you, spitting in your face, as it were, because of righteousness, for His name's sake. Well, I think we've read a fair amount about the persecutions and whatnot. Let's just sum it up with what Paul had to say. 2 Corinthians 11:23. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more, in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in death oft. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice I was beaten with rods, once I was stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck, a night and a day I've been in the deep. In journeyings often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Have any of you endured hardness as a good soldier? I myself have tasted of some of these, but not nearly to the degree of the Apostle Paul. Second Timothy 4:16. At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray Yahweh that it may not be laid to their charge. And reading forward, notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. In closing, Philippians 4:11. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I've learned, in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. Dearly beloved, thou, therefore, endure hardness as a good soldier. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you that we have the example of devoted converts, those who have been through basic training, devoted to training in Christian conduct, duties and skills, men and women who would have rather died than to violate conscience, would have rather given up life forever to think a wrong thought or do a wrong thing. We have such wonderful examples set before us. Father, may we endure hardness as a good soldier. This is my prayer. In Yahshua's name, Amen.